Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's safety chat.
Hi, this is Nick Coya with the Portage County Safety Council, and we're out at the Northeast Ohio Safety Expo this week, talking with presenters, talking on safety subjects. And today we're accompanied by Victor from Job Safety First. Welcome, Vic.
Thanks for having me here. As you said, my name's Victor, last name Rossi. I'm the owner and lead trainer of Job Safety First. We've been doing safety training for over 20 years to companies and tech schools all over the state of Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, South Carolina, a lot of different places. They'll give us calls for their specific safety needs, and we adjust their needs to their facilities.
All right, so you're providing a lot of safety training for different organizations, and today we want to focus in on forklifts and talk a little bit about forklift safety. So, because it's training, what training is required for forklifts?
Well, OSHA has a pretty extensive set of rules that they want people to go by and training regulations. And the reason for that is 110 people a year are killed by fork trucks, either on them or by them, and over 20,000 people injured. So OSHA said, we got to do something about this. The biggest issue that a lot of companies have is their misconception of what training involves. For instance, if I worked for one facility and got trained by a company, by that company, and then I moved to another facility, I have to be retrained by that specific facility in their equipment and their trucks.
So my license doesn't transfer from location
to
location?
No, your license won't transfer. It has to be company specific, and it has to be fork truck specific, the types of fork trucks you're using. And you need to be trained by a competent person in that facility, or an outside person could come in and do that for them. Company has to maintain records of their training, who did the training, who got trained, and that has to be maintained so that if OSHA comes in and they may request to see them training records, especially if there's an accident, first thing they're going to do is find out who trained that individual, and that individual better have all the right answers that right. was trained properly.
Yeah, that competent person is important. And I think the other big piece that you hit on there is being trained on the type of forklift you operate. How about battery-powered pallet jacks? Are those considered forklifts?
Yes, they are.
And I would say majority as a consultant going out in the field, a lot of companies don't think those are forklifts.
Yeah, that's been a general misconception. But you have to be trained every 3 years. You go to retraining. But if you've been observed operating your forklift in an unsafe manner, or you had a near miss or an accident, then you have to be retrained prior to 3 years. And that, again, has to be documented.
And I think that's a documentation piece a lot of people miss. Because you can easily walk through a facility and identify that the forklift has been in an accident. Pallet racks are bent up, the back of the forklift's dented up, but then they never have any retraining documentation, and I think that's a red flag.
Yes, it is. I've been in a lot of facilities, and some of the stuff I see amazes me. Also, you have to be retrained if the company brings in a different type of forklift. Then you have to be trained in that specific new piece of equipment. And then again, that has to be documented.
So maintenance of records is really important on the training piece.
I've talked to a lot of OSHA inspectors, and they can usually tell if someone has training records that are outdated or just sat around gathering dust, no one's updating them, or they can walk out and start talking to people and, you know, like, hey, have you been trained on a forklift? And if you go, oh, what do you mean? Boom, a light bulb goes off.
They'll start digging a little deeper. I think the other area that they focus in on is the inspections of your forklift.
Yeah.
And what should you be doing with the inspection piece?
You have to inspect your forklifts before the start of each shift and records maintained. And to actually do a fork truck inspection can take as little as 5 minutes and as most as 10 minutes. Some of the things you look for, like I'd stand alongside the forklift, I'm going to look at the tires. They're usually solid tires. If there's any chunks missing out of them, all my lug nuts are there. I'm going to look at my overhead mast, make sure it's secured. I'm going to walk around near the front. I'm going to look at my hydraulic lines, make sure that they're not leaking. The chain's in place. I'm going to walk around the front and see if the forks are good and go around the other side and do the same thing. Then I'm going to go in the back and see if my light is back there. Backup beeper, which I've found in inspections I've done, people have a tendency to cut the wires to the backup beepers or stuff a glove in there. Because when you're working at docks with several forklifts, them things start beeping like crazy and it gets to people. So you have to watch for that. Then you get on the fork truck and you're going to turn it on and you're going to go through your controls. Make sure you're up and down, side to side, and tilt's working. Check my horn. I'm going to check my steering. I'm going to check my brakes. And a lot of them have a dead man switch on the seat. What you do is you go forward a little bit, lift yourself up off the seat and see if that stops, just like your tractors you have now out in the yards. And a seatbelt.
You know, and I get this question from everybody. Do I have to wear a seatbelt?
Yes. Seatbelts are required. required. And if a facility has old forklifts with no seatbelts, they have to get them retrofitted with seatbelts. The whole purpose of a seatbelt is to keep you in that forklift in case of a tip over. Because what people will do almost instinctively is try to jump off the truck as it's going down, and then the overhead guard comes down and smashes. I've got several accident reports of deaths from people getting crushed by the fork truck.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, I see it probably in 80% of the customers I visit. There's at least one forklift driver that's zipping around with no seatbelt on.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of companies, you know, they just want the job done. They don't want any more issues than they have to have. So they'll start overlooking some safety things and they'll think, well, just wearing a seatbelt or not, that's no big deal. And then when someone gets killed and OSHA comes in, then they're going to pay the price. And yeah. And worse than that is you have to call somebody's family up and tell them you just lost your loved one.
Well, I think the other issue is it comes down to culture. Before we started this podcast, you and I were talking a little bit about that culture piece of, you know, sometimes we just pencil whip that checklist because A, we have this culture that we need to move quickly. Or B, if I find something wrong with my forklift, I'm almost punished by being given an older beat up forklift for that shift.
Well, that can happen because as a fork truck driver, you get used to your truck.
Right.
Even though you may have the same model as the one next to you, there are differences. There's little nuances. You know? And when you're stacking and unstacking stuff, you have to be precise. So you want the one you're comfortable with. So someone has to look for it,
right?
That the safety checks are being done. And I've been in facilities where they'll have a little card like the old post office card, the old library cards would be in a little plastic sleeve on a mast and then have the checklist. And you'd get off and just check it off like a pilot. And then you sign it and then you turn that into the supervisor and he keeps them on record for a year.
And what is that record retention? How long should I hold on to my inspections for?
1 year.
So, and that's an important piece that, you know, I think also is lost in translation is you know, how long do I hold that onto that paperwork? And that 1 year retention is an important date to remember.
Oh, yeah.
You know, technology has changed a little bit, too, that allows for those inspections to be a little more digitized. As people buy new forklifts, they have onboard diagnostic systems now that you can actually enter that data. And that's just, you know, streamlining paperwork and making it a little bit easier and quicker on the end user, too.
Yeah, and it can, but when you have it electronic like that, that can take out of the picture a person overlooking a small safety issue so they can continue to drive the truck they're on.
Right, definitely. You know, another question that we often get and see through the safety council and out in the field is, can I add attachments to my forklift? You know, it comes with these forks. Can I take them off and put a man basket on it, or can I put a barrel clamp on that? How do attachments work?
You can put them on, but there's a procedure you have to go through. If I want to put a boom extension on or a man lift, which by the way, a lot of people get killed going up on a pallet on a fork truck. That's an absolute no-no.
Right.
You can only go up in a man lift that's secured to the fork truck. But if, say, I own a Hyster or a Yale and I want to put a man basket on or a boom on, what I'm going to do is contact Yale or Hyster and tell them I have this model of your forklift. This is what I want to do. And they will either supply you with one or give you the proper direction for you to go to find one. And if you can't find one and you have to make one, can't just be made by anybody. It has to be signed off by a structural engineer. And because your attachments, you know, if you have a fork truck that can pick up, say, 20,000 pounds, and you put a boom on it, a boom extension, you're going to be picking up less.
Right, because that center of gravity is moving.
Yeah, it's just like a fulcrum. You know, your front wheel or axles is the fulcrum point. So the farther you go away from that, the less you can actually pick up. And you'll have a plate on every fork truck tells you that. But if you get an attachment, there has to be a plate on that attachment. It's telling you how much weight you can pick up with that boom, based on which model fork truck you have.
So, and I think that's a piece a lot of people miss. They assume because you can go on the market and buy that, that I can just slap it onto the forklift and I'm good to go.
Well, it has to be adapted to that specific fork truck.
Very good. Just to finish up here, you know, this is one of the questions that I always love to ask. What is the most common mistake found out in the field?
The most common mistake is really the lack of training, because a company in their quest to do their job, to get the work done, and they need someone on a forklift, they'll grab somebody and tell them, get on there and do this. Even if they think it's only for one time, that could be the one time somebody gets killed.
So making sure that you have good training records and that you're training individuals and they're trained in your facility is an area that people could go out and look at right now, and that's a step in the right direction to improving.
Yes, and it's good to have one individual that's responsible for all the fork truck training. And then that individual can go out periodically and just watch the drivers, make sure they're maintaining the safety awareness that they're supposed to have.
All right. Well, Vic, thank you so much for coming out today. We appreciate this and look forward to hearing your presentation later on today. And everyone out there, be safe.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. To learn more about how your company can earn up to a 4% Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. The preceding information is for entertainment purposes only. Views expressed may not reflect the views of any affiliated or sponsoring individuals or organizations. Listeners should carefully weigh information provided and seek advice from an appropriate professional before implementing. Listener discretion is advised.